Good morning. Welcome to Liminal Church. And this morning, as we celebrate the first Sunday of Advent, appropriately it falls on a contemplative Sunday, a rhythm that we have adopted to spend some time in quiet contemplation rather than having a traditional sermon in worship music. This first Sunday is about letting go and making room for the Christ who came to earth, Emmanuel, God with us. This morning we'll engage in some poetry, some spiritual practices, some quiet contemplation, and some responsive prayers. I hope you take this morning as an invitation to slow down in this busy season. Yesterday at the Downing House, it was Thanksgiving, and today it's Christmas. The world goes pretty fast. We need to allow the peace and quiet to descend into our hearts. We need to let God touch us. So we will begin with the first Advent candle. I'd like you to look at the poem from Mary Oliver. It comes from Thirst. I think it'll be up there.
The word Advent means coming or arrival. It is the season of actively waiting and preparing for Jesus to be born, broadening our hearts and minds to welcome Jesus anew, and paying close attention to the ways Jesus is already coming into the world, God's Word made flesh. This year at Liminal, we have chosen to enter the season of Advent using poetry. Poets use words and phrases in new and imaginative ways, opening our hearts and minds to see familiar things in unfamiliar ways. Poems help us to notice and feel what we might otherwise miss. Each week during the Advent season, we will read a poem and have a brief reflection and prayer. Today's poem is Making the House Ready for the Lord by Mary Oliver. Dear Lord, I have swept and I have washed, but still nothing is as shining as it should be for you. Under the sink, for example, is an uproar of mice. It is the season of their many children. What shall I do? And under the eaves and through the walls, the squirrels have gnawed their ragged entrances, but it is the season when they need shelter. So what shall I do? And the raccoon limps into the kitchen and opens the cupboard while the dog snores. The cat hugs the pillow. What shall I do? Beautiful is the new snow falling in the yard, and the fox who is staring boldly up the path to the door. And still I believe you will come, Lord. You will, when I speak to the fox, the sparrow, the lost dog, the shivering sea goose, know that I really am speaking to you whenever I say, as I do all morning and afternoon, come in, come in. During the first week of Advent, the candle symbolizing hope is lit. In Hebrew, the word yakal is sometimes translated as hope and other times as wait. Advent can then be described as a time of hopeful waiting, of anticipation. But as we see in this poem, it is also a time of preparation. The woman cleans her house, but more importantly, she prepares her heart. In everything she does, she prepares to welcome the Lord, even as she enacts over and over and over again actions of welcome, compassion, and trust. Please pray with me. God of hope, of compassionate mercy, help us to hope, to see all around us the signs of your coming kingdom. Help us to see that to whomever we speak, we are truly speaking to you. May we always be ready to say, come in, come in. Amen.
In God's house, everyone is welcome. Those who seem to have it all together, and those who feel like their world is falling apart. No matter who we are, there's room. There's room for us here. With that confidence, we can turn to God, knowing He receives us with open arms, no matter what the state of our hearts, no matter what the state of our lives. As we begin this morning, let's take a few moments in silence. Let's stop to consider, where do you find yourself this morning? What state are you in? There will be a prompt on the, there is a prompt on the screen, and we'll just take a few moments in silence that will be signaled by the ringing of the bell, and then when silence is ended, I will ring the bell again. Father Thomas Keating highlights a spiritual practice whose purpose it is to invite God into the reality of our lives, not just the sanitized places, but into the dusty corners, the hidden places, the mice under the sink, where it's difficult to imagine inviting the Holy One. The image of Jesus being born in a manger surrounded by the smells of barn animals and unwashed travelers gives us all hope here. Jesus is at home in our mess. There's no place where he is unwilling to meet us. When we welcome what is into our lives, it doesn't mean that we don't want or need to change or grow. It means that we can accept what comes our way and invite God into it. In God's presence, we bring him our needs, our desires, our thoughts, our emotions, and our circumstances. But instead of fighting these things and the things around us, we welcome them and we welcome God into them so that we can be conformed and transformed as we consent to God's presence, even in those hard places. To fight against our reality, to demand and grasp our own desires, that's not consistent with the belief that God alone is the source of life and love. But when we let go and we meet God in the reality of our lives, then we can actually become free and experience God's presence, which does heal and provide for our needs and transform us. If we grasp and control our lives, we will inevitably create substitutes for the genuine rest in God and his provision. Let's pause for a moment and think of what substitutes do you turn to instead of turning to God. As you think of them, don't condemn yourself. Just notice them. Name them. We'll take a few minutes to consider. path of mystery, which is our life in Christ, is one where we experience God within, coming to Him defenseless, open, and consenting to God's presence in everything that comes our way. It is this true self that knows experientially that we are secure and protected and loved. This is the place where we are connected to God and to His love. There's a spiritual practice called the Welcome Prayer. And I'd like to read it to you today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me today because I know God's presence is there. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for affection, esteem, approval, and pleasure. I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. I open to the love and presence of God and God's action within. The welcome prayer is a way of acknowledging what we are actually feeling. We spend a lot of time covering and repressing our feelings, don't we? That's not very healthy for us. Welcoming prayer is a way of acknowledging what we feel, which can be a first step towards healing. Think of it this way. If someone comes and knocks on your door and they're hungry, maybe you let them in, you see their need, and you feed them. If someone comes and knocks on your door and they're broken and sobbing, you see their need, you invite them in and you give them comfort. It can be the same way with our feelings. When they surface, rather than repress them and turn them away, we make room for them. We allow them in, we welcome them, and we take care of them. That's what welcoming prayer is meant to do. The welcoming prayer does not describe the way the world thinks. In fact, it's probably not the way we normally think either. And it may make you a little uncomfortable. Well, let's sit and pause a few moments and consider how these words sit with our soul. Let me read it one more time. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me today, because I know God's presence is there. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for affection, esteem, approval, and pleasure. I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. I open to the love and presence of God and God's action within. I have a few questions for you to consider. They'll be on the screen. As you hear the words of the welcome prayer, what thoughts and feelings arise in you? Are there statements that resonate with you? If so, allow them to take deep root. Thank you. just as important as considering what resonates with you. Were there statements in the prayer that you resist? Explore what might be underneath that resistance. Maybe a lack of trust or the pain of unmet expectations. Maybe fear for you or for a loved one. Maybe a loss of hope. Can you offer those to God and allow God to hold them for you? To the extent that you are able to let go of some of these things, what must it feel like to release them? Let's sit with that for a few moments as well. Doing the deep work of God is not easy. Holding areas of lack of trust, of disappointment, and assigning those to God can be a little bit scary. But we have a God who makes it safe to do just exactly that. Take a few deep breaths now. Notice the space that's created as you inhale and exhale. Scripture is full of stories of people just like us, ordinary people, people who longed to know God, people who longed but struggled to follow God, people who made mistakes but tried to grow, people who sometimes turned away, old, young, native, immigrant, new to the faith, lifelong believer. Scripture gives us stories of people just like us. And just as God walked with them, he walks with you. He longs to help us to hear and remember all the ways that he walks with us. The places where we noticed him, the places where we did not. As we take a few moments to let this sink even deeper into our souls, use this prompt on the screen. Where are you aware of God's presence in your current circumstances? In what circumstances do you struggle to see God's presence at all? to lead you in a responsive prayer. I'll read a line and then together we'll pray the words that are written in bold and italics. God of today and God of tomorrow, you say, bring your full self. There is room for you here. But we say, our lives are too messy. You say, bring your hopes and your dreams. There's room for you here. But we say, it's too risky to hope. You say, bring your grief and your prayers. There's room for you here. But we say, some things are too painful to bring and easier to forget. God of today and God of tomorrow, we know in our hearts that there's room for us here. Forgive us for withholding our full selves from you. Forgive us for giving only our Sunday best. Help us remember today and tomorrow. There's room for every story. There's room for my story. There's room for me. Amen. Look around you for a moment. Go ahead. We are a family of faith. What unites us is our journey with God, wherever on that journey we find ourselves. We're not alone. God is with us, and God has given us one another. We who feel scattered are held together. We who have lost our way and are forgotten are found. And we who are lonely are invited in and told, there's room for you here. From generation to generation, this is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are held, forgiven, found, and welcomed. Thanks be to God. As we close our Advent service, I would like to pray a prayer over all of us. And at the close, after communion, we'll join together in the words that Jesus taught us to pray. God of Abraham and Isaac, God of Tamar and Ruth, God of Mary, God of Joseph, we bow our heads today, hoping to catch a glimpse or a shimmer of you. We know that you are here with us, just as you walked with every generation before. So we bring you our prayers, as did they. Thank you for creating space for us. Thank you for seeing our scattered thoughts, our imposter syndrome, our fragments of doubt, and still you say, come to me. Thank you for seeing our ordinary selves with anxious concerns and unflattering habits. As you say, I have bigger plans for you. Thank you for seeing our fragile egos and our uncertain relationships. And still you say, you belong. You belong here. And you belong to me. Your expansive love makes room for us to breathe. And we want to love with our lungs and our hearts full. So today we pray, teach us how to make room for others. When we come face to face with stories that are different from ours, show us how to welcome, show us how to learn from them. When we find ourselves face to face with stories that frustrate and test our patience, show us how to build bridges instead of walls. When we find ourselves face to face with stories that feel foreign or unrelatable, remind us to open the door and listen more fully and completely. From Abraham to Mary, you made room for every story, and that love continues to make room for us, for each of us. Teach us to do the same for our neighbor, for our family, for our friend, for our enemy. so this world can come to know such a love as yours. I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward. We'll take communion at the tables on either side of the stage this morning. Remember the table that Jesus reclined at. Think about the people that were around that table, how very different they were. They had one thing that united them, and that was the host of the table. He made room for everyone, not just those who measured up, because none of them did. He made room for everyone, everyone. So as he reclined at the table, he took the bread. And he said, "This is my body." Broken for you. Then he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins, that all may be welcome." Come forth, share at the table. Consider what we've just done. It is a familiar act, something we do once or twice a month and have been doing for a very, very long time. Consider the elements. Bread is simple. It's water, flour. The juice is simple. Product of crushed grapes. And yet, they have a meaning that is so profound if we choose to give it to them. Because as we take these elements, they become part of who we are. These elements nourish every cell in our body. It is that that Jesus had in mind. That as we consider what he's done, it would inform every cell of our body what he did for us to make room at the table. As we close the service, I'd like us to pray the Lord's Prayer together. I picked a different translation on purpose, with the idea that words that are said over and over and over can become too familiar sometimes. So if it's a little unfamiliar, let that remind you to pay attention to what you're saying. With hope we pray, using the words that Jesus taught us to say. Our Heavenly Father, may your name be honored above all. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day the bread we need. Forgive us when we turn away from you, and help us to forgive those who have done anything against us. Keep us clear of temptation. Save us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Our service is over. Feel free to sit as long as you need to. And when you go in the peace of God, who makes room for every story and makes room for you.